Welcome to the Round Ball. Hello, Seva and Andy Burnell. Welcome, lads.
Hello again, mate.
How you going, boys?
Good, boys. Now, before we start, obviously, grand final day here in Sydney, Seva, Penrith. We're all aboard the Penrith train. The town's buzzing, even though COVID's hit, but the town's still buzzing.
Yeah, mate, I was tempted to jump in the old XR8 and light them up for the boys, eh?
And Birch, before we continue, Dan Hooker, Hangman, had a good win last week and looks like he's going to have another fight pretty soon.
He's got another fight in Abu Dhabi. I think it's the 1st or the 2nd of October, you know, in that top 4 or 5 ranking in the world now. And I thought I'd wear a hat that he gave me. You know, there are team edition dressing room hats or caps, whatever you want to call them. They're the real deal, mate. So this one's for DH.
How good. Good luck. And good luck to Hangman too. It was a good fight, Seva. So we're all aboard the Hangman train.
Big time. Yeah. No, he's an unbelievable athlete. What he did last week to be able to cut weight on a plane and pretty much fight, what, not even 48 hours after or 72 hours. Ridiculous. Superhuman. Yeah.
And good on him. Now, today's show is brought to you by Mate Internet and Mobile. Choose a provider you can trust like a mate. Visit letsbemates.com.au. So, again, we can't thank them enough. Now, boys, we're going to get straight in. We're going to rip in this week. We're going to get everything out, and then we're going to have a few beers at the end because it's grand final day. But what I want to start with today is obviously the A-League rebranded. We're only going to touch on it very quickly. I'm a bit of a fan of the logo. I don't mind it. My only issue is it's basically copying a building logo from Adelaide. Instead of being an up and about sort of thing, it's caused a bit of controversy.
Seva, you go, mate.
Oh, no. Yeah. I totally agree with you, Hedo. I just thought that rebranding, they'd go to a completely different, maybe just completely different, like just blow everything out of the water. But it seems as if like they've picked up someone else's logo in a way. What do you reckon, Birch?
Oh, look, I don't dislike it. I like it. I know there's a building company in Adelaide that are banging on or people out there are banging on about that it's very close to the logo that represents a building company in Adelaide. You know, that I think is for the legal people to work out. I like the rebrand. I like the logo. It's pretty simple. Really effective, and the more I look at it, the more catchy it is. You know, the legal side of it, you know, if it was if someone was out there and produced a logo that was very similar to the Nike tick, they'd have Nike on their backside within about 30 seconds. So that's something for the APL to you know, look at, or even if they have to look at it, you know, if there's legal issues. But you know, I like the new branding. It's simple, effective, and I think it'll grow on the community. I just think, you know, we're over the black and white little soccer balls and all this sort of stuff. I like it. You know, it's kind of sleek, you know, and out there. I like the lines.
And I agree with that. It's just basic, and I think it's a perfect sort of rebrand. Now, while we're on the touch of rebranding, we've spoken on this show, I guess from the start, about how the A-League needs some star power, and it's missing that star power. And during the week, the star power, I feel, has turned up in the form of Daniel Sturridge for Perth Glory. Now, Seva, he sat out for a bit. Do you think he's the signing the A-League needs, or does it push Perth up into the top four easily now if he stays fit?
I wouldn't say it's going to push Perth up into the top four easily, because let's be honest, he gets an injury, they're gone. So they're riding on him big time. But let's be honest, I think that his body, he looks in great shape. I think he's kept himself really, really in good nick, and he hasn't played a lot of football lately. Not that's not just due to injury. So in other words, he probably feels refreshed and stuff. I think he's a classy player. He's played for England, obviously played for Liverpool, and scored a lot of goals. And I think he'll be great for Perth. Honestly, I just think he's that just a good style of player. You know, he'll He'll take on board a couple of tricks, a couple of flicks. You know, I think he'll be great.
And Birch, he's obviously won a Premier League, a Champions League, and an FA Cup, so he does bring some star power with him over to Perth.
Perth glory.
Yeah.
Well done. And you know that is what the Australian Football League needs. The community needs. That is what you call a marquee. Now it's up to the club, the environment, the coaching staff to push the right buttons with Daniel Sturridge and alongside him, Fornaroli. And I just think what a wonderful duo up front. You know, that's what you call a marquee front line. For me, Perth's greatest, I wouldn't say issue. I would say Perth's greatest, problem to solve now, and it's not even a problem, but it's, you know, keep tight at the back, do not concede goals, and those two will win you matches, because that's the star quality. You know, Sturridge is, that's the kind of marquee that you need that's going to give you 5 to 10,000 bums on seats just because of the name. You know, when I think of marquees, yes, that's it. You know, Del Piero, Dwight York, Sturridge, players of that ilk. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know what? We, as a show here, you know, speak the truth on everything, or we try to give it as black and white as it is. And you know, we will hammer some teams at some stages and times. But Perth Glory, well done. Congratulations. That is a fantastic signing.
Now, Seba, they've obviously used Brad Jones obviously he's a new signing. They used him to get to Daniel Sturridge and obviously used Robbie Fowler, an old Perth boy as well, and got them to sell him the city and sell him Australia. So I guess it's going to work, I think, really well.
Yeah, I think it will. And let's not forget that Perth is a lot closer to Europe than Sydney is. It's about 4.5 hours difference. I nearly signed at Perth myself, and I used to love going there for away trips. There's a massive British following there. Like it's crazy. The town is just full of Poms, and awesome city. The weather's great. The stadium's beautiful now. They always had good atmosphere even back in the old NSL days and recently in the A-League. I just think it's just an unbelievable catch for the A-League, like Birch said. And I think that clubs should be looking at what Perth are doing.
Yeah, and Birch, what Seffa just said is a great point. They should be looking at what Perth are doing, because there is players of Sturridge's ilk that are sort of not playing in or not playing, thinking about retiring or whatever, that could come and play in the A-League.
Look, I think I've said it, you know, seconds ago, minutes ago. It's a fantastic signing. You've got a guy of a fantastic, you know, football pedigree, you know, that's been an English international, has played for the biggest clubs in England. And, you know, like Seva said, for the community, the football community in Perth, which has a lot of people from the United Kingdom, you know, they're going to be loving this, you know. And Sturridge, like I said, he'll put 5, 10, 15,000 bums on seats, you know, and he should, you know, even at 70%, 80% of his top class ability at 70 to 80%, he should be ripping this league.
Another thing too, what I love, guys, is he's a left footer as well. You don't get many left foot like marquees or left footed players. Let's be honest, we don't get many.
100%.
You know, so I think he's going to be exciting.
Look, I think in my opinion, Perth's home games will be a fortress now, because everyone will want to watch Sturridge. It's good. They'll sell the stadium out when Sturridge is fit and playing. They'll sell that stadium out, Birch, you reckon?
And they've just changed the dynamic and the balance of you know, teams challenging for titles here. With Sturridge and Fornaroli up front, you know, they keep it tight at the back. They don't concede goals. They're in with a chance. You know, I'd want them to be top four. I'd be looking at them to be top four, you know, at the very worst. So you know, but again, it excites you. Players of that caliber, of that ilk, we're excited talking about it.
100%.
So, you know, if you're a football fan in Perth, You're excited for the upcoming season.
And Birch, in your opinion, sorry to jump in there, but when you travel to Perth, it's not the easiest place to travel because even though you are changing time zones and that, but Perth don't really need to get a lot right in order to win games because that travel element for traveling teams is an absolute bastard. And of course, COVID's going to be pissing off now. You'll have people actually, for example, Wellington will be flying in. They won't be living in Wollongong, so to speak. So I think Perth are going to, I'm going to say top two, top three.
That's you know, if they're not in the top two or three, you know, with that home crowd and the buzz about the city now, and the quality they have in terms of finishing quality up front, then I'd be disappointed if I was, you know, the powers that be at Perth Glory.
And Fornaroli will be loving it.
Yeah, he's going to be. He's got star power next to him, and we've spoken about it, and we're going to talk about it later in the show too. But just having Daniel Sturridge's name on the team sheet will send shivers through certain teams. Yeah, they'll know we're in. Especially the back four are going to go, we're in for a torrid day.
Everyone grows another leg, eh? When you've got that sort of power on your team sheet, you know, especially if he brings his professionalism. For example, his mannerisms off the field. If he does what a Ronaldo done. When he went to United, about you hear the story about how what he was eating.
Yeah.
They pretty much they sacked all the shitty food and they got all the proteins on there. So maybe if that could help.
Yeah.
Well, it's super important, you know, when you travel away to a game or you know, you're sitting in that dressing room and the referees or the manager brings in the team sheet of who you're playing against. You know, all players. Look at those team sheets immediately and straight away managers will address, you know, the plan that they've had for that week. They might have to adjust it, you know, depending on who's on the team sheet that's just been brought in. But, you know, certainly if I'm playing against Perth Glory with those two boys up front, you know, if they're not on the team sheet, my team grows.
Yeah.
If they are on the team sheet, now, we need to understand that we're playing against two world-class quality strikers that at any given time point can hurt us. So we got to be at the races that day.
Yeah, so in concluding that, well done, Perth. Well done to the executives or the management team at Perth. It's a gun signing, and we can't wait. Obviously, that'll help other clubs in the A-League as well stick bums on seats. Now, boys, we're going to take our we're going to go down to Melbourne now, and we're going to talk about City and Victory. They say big clubs in the A-League. We're going to start with City, and Birch, I'll start with you. The signing of Matt Leckie for Melbourne City and Patrick Kisnorbo, a Socceroo, a guy who's been and done it. Plus, they have the Socceroos striker. If they're not top two again this year with the backing of the City Group, like, I think it's nearly a failure at times.
100%. They need to be in the top two. Patty Kisnorbo has proved he's a wonderful young manager. You know, you could even look at him as a future Socceroo manager. You know, he's played at the highest levels and he brings all that wealth of knowledge and experience back to you know, Melbourne City. I like his mindset. I like his attitude. I like, you know, the way he talks to the players. He empowers people. I think that's a real winner. Leckie, I've always liked Leckie, you know, and he's a young man that's played at the highest level in Germany for the Socceroos, World Cups, you know, just blistering pace, you know,
pace.
Rapid. And with McLaren, you know, who's been, you know, by far the best nine in this country, you know, over the last year or two, you know, Jamie at this level excels. There are certain players in certain countries that don't quite kind of adapt for whatever reason. But I think Jamie's found a fantastic environment and culture in one of the City Group teams, which is Melbourne City. And he's excelling, you know, and with Leckie by his side, again, they're a team that, you know, if you're in the dressing room next door and they're both on the team sheet and you're looking at it, you're starting to go, whoa, we got a job on our hands today. You know, for Jamie, You know, if he wants to set himself further goals and become an even better footballer, he's part of the City group. You know, go and score another 20, 30 goals this season and then maybe challenge yourself in terms of going and doing it for a City group club in Japan. Be the top goal scorer in the J-League or yeah. go and play for New York City in the MLS and win the MLS with them. And then Jamie McLaren leaves a fantastic legacy.
And Seve, you agree, yeah. I know you'll agree that if he starts banging goals in, there's people watching, especially in that City group.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of options for him as well, you know. Just to touch on Lecky, one thing that I always liked about Lecky was every time there was a Socceroo match, he was always there. Yeah. Don't forget, this guy builds his game on his speed, all right? A lot of speed demons have a lot of injury problems. He doesn't really get much problems. He doesn't really get much niggles. He's always there. He's always starting.
Yeah, yeah. And, mate, I think the backing of the City group, Paddy Cusnorbo, the club seems to be run really well. You don't ever see them in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. They seem to just stay out of the headlines and they're ticking all the boxes. So, Birch, I guess you said it before, Paddy Cusnorbo obviously is a good gaffer because he keeps it all in-house.
Oh, look, he's seen how it operates, you know, in England, in Europe, at Socceroo level. He's worked and been around fantastic managers. And Paddy's not a silly man. You know, he would have observed and sponged a lot of information. And he has the presence about him that is empowering as well. You know, I like everything that's happening at the City Group. I feel... If you're looking at powers in football, there ain't much bigger.
You know?
So money is not an issue for that club. Getting the right balance of management tied to players, that's once you get the right players in that bind to Paddy's message, now we're cooking.
And we're expecting big things. So I think they're Seba challenging for the title again, if not obviously probably winning.
Oh, yeah, for Melbourne City not to do any good, I just don't see it happening. I just think, yeah, they're a top two. They're a first and second team. They know that. They'll thrive on that. I second everything that Burst just said about Paddy Cusnorbo. Let's not forget he had a decent career in Europe as well, so he sponged up a lot of things. And I personally believe that most of the time defenders make the best coaches.
Yeah, perfect. Now, let's go down the road. Melbourne Victory. Seva, I know we've had conversations off air about Victory. That they say they're the biggest club in the A-League. The biggest club in the A-League shouldn't be finishing down the bottom of the ladder. So,
it's
either, I think this year, if they're down the bottom of the ladder, some heads have to roll.
I think so. Look, as much as I don't like the bloke, they've got a good coach. He has signed a lot of players now that he has previously dealt with because obviously he knows them. It's almost like an old boys club, but if they don't fire for him, it all falls on him because the players, you can't just sack 6-7 players. He's got to go, but I don't see him going. I think he's going to be there for a long time. He's a good coach, let's be honest. Yeah, he may have done some dealings in the past, which a lot of people don't like about him, but it is what it is. I just don't like I hate the fact that these recycled players keep popping up like a Sporanovic. Like, when are you just going to just give it away and let someone else step up? Because that's one thing I don't like. And I've been a big thing about giving youngsters a go.
Yep.
And yeah, that's just my thoughts on City. A lot of pressure on this year. So.
Yeah, and Birch, we're going to talk about a player that they've signed to obviously be the marquee, and what Seba just sort of said is basically the point I was trying to make is they need to be at the top and they're not. They've signed Popovic; he's got the runs on the board, but I think if certain players don't prove this year, then some heads have got to roll again. Like I said,
well, they've gone and made Economides a marquee player. You know, he's still a young lad. He's still not a first picked with the Socceroos. You know, he hasn't been able to forge any type of career or any momentum in any league of note in Europe. or Asia, and you give him a
market. What's the price tag, Bert?
I think it's above 600 and below a million per season. So, you know,
Seba, you shouldn't have retired. Marquee,
mate, on those wages, Seba, you'd be a $2 million player. You know, but it's for me, will Chris Economides immediately put 5 to 10 to 15,000 bums on seats? No. He's not the number 10 for the Socceroos at the moment. You know, he needs to, and I'm, you know what? This isn't bagging the kid out. I'm just telling you, he's not a marquee. Dwight York's a marquee. Sturridge is a marquee. Del Piero's a marquee. Diamante's a marquee. Beckham's a marquee. Robbie Keane's a marquee.
Yeah.
This is how the world works. You know, he's a young, fine young footballer that's starting up in his career. And the pressure is now even more so on him because they've labelled him as a marquee and given him big money. So he's under more pressure now to perform and bring success to that club. So if he doesn't, who at the Melbourne Victory Club is going to put their hand up and say, I screwed up?
Has to be Popper. Popper had him at Perth. And, you know, he stuck him out wide. And if you're paying 600,000 to $1 million for a guy to play out wide, and I reckon he struggles to get you 10 goals, excuse my French, but you fucked up.
And Seba and
Birch. That's a lot of cash, man. A lot of cash.
I'll ask you both. I'll sort of counter that for a bit. Good luck to him if he's going to get that sort of cash. Him and his agent have done a cracking deal for him to get that much cash.
I think Victory panicked.
1,000,000%. You know, for me, well done to the agent. Well done to Chris. Well done. You know, you've got yourself a fantastic wage, and good on you. Okay, very clever. You know, from your team. Now, show us. Show us what you got, because if you're a marquee, I'm expecting from a marquee at Melbourne Victory, and marquees that I, you know, the expectancy of a, you know, where he's not Honda. You know, when you talk about marquees at Melbourne Victory, this is a club that is pretty self, you know, at times they've self-professed to be the leading club in the country. Yep, with a fantastic fan base. And I'm not going to, you know, oppose that. It's a fantastic fan base and a fantastic club based on everything that's happened in the past. The last few years, and it's telling, the last 3-4 years, they've gone downhill. And it's since the departure of Kevin Muscat. A lot of people slag off Kevin Muscat, but Muscat's a winner. He's a leader, he's a general, and he's an empowerer of men. And since he left that club, they've gone downhill. So if Popovic can turn that around, fair play. But everybody's under pressure at that club, because now you've got your next-door neighbours, the Citigroup, with bundles of cash and the ability to create whatever they want. So you want to be good.
All right. So, Seba, I'll ask you this. You played in the A-League with the Gold Coast. With Chris Economides being that marquee, like Birch said, does he have to run the dressing room? Does he have to be that figurehead, or can he be?
I personally don't think he can be, because I just don't think he has the characteristics. I think he's not out there enough. He's not demanding. Even I've watched many games of him. Like he just doesn't have the body shape or anything like that. He doesn't have the demand. Or because someone has given him that sort of money doesn't put him on a pedestal. He just doesn't have the Diamante swagger to be able to walk in there and demand shit, because he hasn't done anything. And, you know, I just don't see him as that Di Canio, that rogue sort of like a Roy Keane sort of, this is my, no, it won't happen. He didn't get bought for that to run a dressing room. Popper will run that dressing room regardless.
Yeah. And Birch, he's been selected for the Socceroos. And I'll ask you this. he goes into Socceroos camp and has to prove himself, yeah, get his confidence up.
Well, he needs to justify a marquee spot at Victory. Is he going to be a first 11 for the Socceroos?
Yeah.
I don't think so. He may come on, but that dressing room at Melbourne Victory is now, for me, become problematic because yeah. I'm one of the other players in that side, and I'm looking at Chris Economides.
I know where you're going, Birch.
I'm now being told he's our marquee. He's our go-to guy. He's our Diamante. He's our Del Piero. He's our Beckham. He's our Dwight York. He's our,
Keep going.
Please. I could go all day. So for me, the label, the marquee label, they've got it really, really wrong with that one. And it's just, for me, it's just putting more pressure on a young man that, with all due respect, has done nothing in football up to now.
I'll tell you something that's gone wrong.
If he was first 11 in the Socceroos, and was, there were offers coming in from every football club on the planet for his services, then I'd go, let's give him $1 million a year. He's our marquee, because we're going to sell him to Real Madrid or Barcelona next year for $30 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, Seva, you also know what it's like as well. You've come back from overseas to play in the A-League too, So it's coming from a good base.
Well, I think I'm not going to talk from any bitterness point because it hasn't come from there, because I've personally got, I'm happy what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing now. But I'll just tell you, it's just a small scenario, Birch. You can understand it. You've seen it. I left here in 1999. I got sold. Remember, I got sold as a kangaroo to a Serie A club in Italy where everyone wanted to play. No one wanted to play in Spain, England at the time. England was just about to start kicking off. I was breaking all scoring records in the youth team, which is the Primavera, all right? You got Economides 5-6 years ago struggling to play in the youth team, not scoring any goals, but at that point in his career, he was on the verge of making Socceroo appearances with players who are playing in the Premier League. Yet, when I was over there back in 99, breaking Christian Vieri's records as a kangaroo, had no idea about the style of play. They didn't even know I was there.
Yeah.
The FA did not even know I was in Italy playing. So could I have been a Socceroo? I know times have changed, but this is so-called, I wouldn't say mismanagement, but there's something wrong here with what's happened with someone throwing in this amount of money at him. It's just, to me, it's wrong.
I agree with you, Seva. But times have changed. Social media has changed. The scouting systems have changed. And, at the end of the day, Chris Economides is a fine young footballer that's come out of Australia who is still finding his feet on a global level in the world game. And good on him for getting a fantastic marquee wage at Melbourne Victory. I don't begrudge anybody that. But what he needs to understand, and what his agent needs to understand, and people around him, that now we're expecting marquee product.
Yeah.
Marquee delivery. Okay. His teammates will be expecting of him marquee goals, marquee moves, marquee everything. And I just think he didn't need that pressure at this stage of his career. Yeah. And, it's a false narrative as well, Melbourne Victory fans, to sell 30, 40,000 people, a delusional message of that's our marquee.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on everybody. And, if it doesn't work, if he doesn't produce, who okayed that transfer? Who okayed that money on a kid that hasn't done anything in football yet?
And gents, I'll ask you this. We saw what happened with Victory last year. The fans were basically rioting because they were that bad, right? If they don't start winning, the fans demand success because they have had success built in them. Economides and Popovich are going to have a lot of trouble on their hands, especially if they start losing, yeah?
Agreed.
100%, you know, and with a couple of recycled players in there that, that Sever was speaking about. it's the merry-go-round, to a certain extent, continues.
Yeah.
The boys' club, to a certain extent, continues. The agent club, boys' club, continues, you know, but that's for another program, you know.
Yeah.
We'd be here for 10 hours if I started you up on that one.
Boys, I want you to take me into the week of sort of Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Sever. Take me through the week. He's benched Pogba and he's benched Ronaldo for the game against Everton. What would the dressing room be like, or even the training pitch, for the week of?
Okay, if you're gonna bench a couple of boys like that, they're gonna want to know early. All right, springing it on them on a Friday afternoon, that it'll create chaos. All right. So in other words, if the whole team or 25 man team know that Ronaldo, Pogba, and stuff are gonna be benched or whatever like that, I just think the mood of the whole week is completely different. All right. I'd say that those boys would be involved in set piece situations and that. They'd be practicing and all that stuff. I think it's a situation. I think Solskjaer knows he's gonna get the sack. And this is his way of rebelling. You're going to sack me on Monday anyway? Well, this is the team I'm going to throw out. That's what I believe. I think we're going to wake up Monday morning and Solskjaer will be gone. And hence, because why would you bench those two? Tell me why.
Yeah, and Birch, I'll get you to add on there. Can we tell him why? Because I can't tell him why, especially at home.
He's got to go. Solskjaer has got to go. It's not like he got a result either. He it's a one-all draw at Old Trafford, yeah. The Everton, and you leave Cristiano Ronaldo and Paul Pogba on the bench. You know, the only excuse that he could maybe come up with is resting them for something else. You know what? If you want to rest them, you start them and you take them off after 50, 60, 70 minutes, okay? Yeah. That's yeah. how you rest players, Ollie, okay? There's yeah. something going on at that club. Okay, it's not happy days in that dressing room. And by Cristiano Ronaldo and Paul Pogba on your bench, when Everton are in the dressing room next door and that team sheet comes in, they are pumped. You have just empowered your
yep.
your opponents next door who know you're going out to play without two of the greatest players on the planet. And so, you know, yep. that is not intelligent coaching for me.
You've just handed Everton the Manchester United of last year.
Yeah, oh. But Sever, I'll ask you this. Everton have gone there, an away game at Old Trafford, a packed house, probably shitting themselves going, Ronaldo's going to be starting up top. The back four have got a plan. They see the team yeah. sheet, they're going.
Well, by my knowledge, Everton have a good track record at Old Trafford.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Ever since Ferguson have left, they've got a great track record.
You know, they've always done well. You know, Everton, yeah. you know, for many years, Cahill was a big part of that, you know,
yeah.
inspiring them to play, you know, and attain results, even fearless, at times way above their standing. You know, he turned them into a, you know, pretty much yeah. a powerhouse within that league, you know, a team to be feared. So... in their own right, they're a fantastic football club. And then they go away and they get handed an early Christmas present.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're leaving Ronaldo and Pogba on a European champion, a world champion, two guys that just their presence instills a certain,
yeah.
you know, kind of respect or fear in whatever way you want to look at it. You know, and
like
it's the greatest.
Birch, let's be honest. What's
an opposition?
Yeah, there you go, Sever.
What, Birch? In all honesty, what's the chances of Ronaldo and Pogba on the same week knocking on Solskjaer's door saying, "I'm tired"? Are you not resting them because they? You know what I mean?
I've never heard of footballers actually knocking on the manager's door and saying, "I'm tired. Can you rest me?" That one would be a first for me. So. That's the only, you know, the only kind of reason, or maybe like Hedo said, he knows he's going, and he's going to kind of leave a message by, you know, by having a pop at these two players and saying, you know, I'm going to go on my terms. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to go, go with your best 11 on the pitch and say, I did my best. I played all the marquees. I played all my superstars. It gives him more credence. It gives him more kind of backup in the end. Well, you know, this is the squad I had. We played our best 11. I couldn't field a better 11, and we still couldn't create a result that sent the fans home happy. He's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
he's in a lot of trouble. And once managers go beyond their football nous and their football knowledge in terms of coaching and start, you know, turning it into a psychological warfare of leaving two of the best players on the planet on the bench, what he was trying to play there is, I don't even know.
What you can't forget, too, is that Solskjaer was a striker in his day, all right? So in his DNA, from a young kid, he's not saying taught to be selfish, but he's got to have some sort of self-respect. So I personally believe exactly what Birch said and what I said earlier. I think he's going to go out on his own selfish terms. He's going to do what the hell he wants, regardless if it's sending the Manchester United fans home happy by starting a first 11. We could wake up tomorrow morning and contact the coach, and then you are, okay? That's what it was. He knew he was gone. He can't bring in a coach right now. Bring him in after the weekend.
And he's created, unfortunately, he sold himself to me. He's selling himself the controversy now by doing that. Yeah. He's creating his own narrative by he's benched them and didn't get a result. That's on your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's there at Christmas, I'll be really surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I think the reindeers are more probably, you know, be going over Ollie's house in, you know, out in Norway or Iceland, whatever it is, rather than Old Trafford. He's on his last legs, and you create that in a way, you know, by those picks. For example, and now he's got a dressing room. You know, Pogba, you know, had 7, 8, 9 players on side.
Yes.
That formulated a group, that created a group that ousted Mourinho. So if Mourinho goes on the back of that, you know, and Ollie's starting to play mind games with his superstars, then he's in a lot of trouble. You know, I'm not sure Christmas is going to be a good one for him, mate.
And we've spoken about what you don't play mind games with superstars. It just doesn't work. And look, from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like it's working because you shouldn't be benching those two boys for 60 odd minutes at a home game, especially at Old Trafford. Now, boys, thank you for today. That's again, it's a wonderful insight into, I guess, Seva and Birch. You've taken us inside players' heads at times, inside the dressing rooms, and the feedback we've been getting is that's what people want to hear. So, boys, again, the analysis is perfect, and appreciate, you know, you're putting all the effort in and giving the people what they want to hear.
Awesome, guys. Thanks.
Anytime. Go the Panthers.
Absolutely. Now, today's show is brought to you by Mate Internet and Mobile. Choose a provider you can trust like a mate. Visit letsbemates.com.au. And the show also can't happen without our wonderful sponsors, DS Tipping and Excavations. I know he's on a long weekend, but Seva, thank you for putting your effort into the show and giving us and keeping us afloat. Monster Clothing, Seva, do us another stand-up. Your place to go for some great quality all year round casual clothing based around some pretty epic builds. So Monster, we can't thank them enough. So comfy stuff, Seva.
Very comfy, very comfy. It's on the way, boys. It's on the way.
Yeah, sweet. And MG Active. Look, Seb, I can't wait to get back into the dim sim. Look how fit I'm looking. Eh? Look at you. So we can't thank Logues, MG, and Montana enough. They've get on Zoom. They're still doing Zoom classes and whatever else. But you can get your 5-day free trial by visiting mgactive.com.au or follow them on socials. Ignify Legal, Ian and the team. Again, Ian, thank you. For any legal stuff, get in contact with Ignify Legal. And boys, last but not least, the man behind it again, Sensor Studios. Jeff and the team at Sensor Studios do a wonderful job. So any live streaming, videography, or anything like that, including a podcast, if you want to look as good as us, get in contact with Sensor Studios. So thanks, Jeff. And he's a genius, isn't he, boys?
He's top man.
So, boys, we've done another episode. Again, I thank you guys enough. And, Bert, you're absolutely right. Get on the Panthers. By the time this comes out, it'll be Wednesday. Hopefully we're celebrating a victory. Cristiano Ronaldo, yeah!